UFOs have captivated the public interest for decades, but they've always been dismissed, including by me, as the province of wackos. But that is changing thanks to some remarkable videotape and firsthand accounts from very sober people who are trained to identify aircraft. And that would include this video. It shows two Navy pilots encountering something bizarre off the east coast of the United States.
Expressing technologies that are far beyond our current understanding of aerodynamics, things that are maneuvering in ways that no aircraft that we are currently aware of has that capability to. Flight performance characteristics that are well beyond the threshold of what we would consider, I think, normal or routine for aircraft.
On November 14th, 2004, Commander David Fravor and his wingman pilot took off from the USS Nimitz, which was on maneuver south of San Diego. At first, the strange craft stays close to the surface, moving unlike anything the pilots had ever seen.
This thing would go instantaneous from one way to another, similar to if you threw a ping pong ball against a wall. What was this? There was a capability out there. Don't know where it's from. Not saying it's from outer space, but not saying it's from here either.
I occasionally think how quickly our differences worldwide would vanish if we were facing an alien threat from outside this world.
UFOs do not seem to exist as tangible, manufactured objects. They do not conform to the natural laws of our environment. The thousands of contacts with the entities indicate they are liars and put-on artists. The UFO manifestations seem to be, by and large, merely minor variations of the age-old demonological phenomenon.
Tonight on the Worldview Weekend Hour, UFOs, they're becoming very common. Fox News, Tucker Carlson reports on them all the time. He even asked President Donald Trump about it. And Navy pilots are seeing things they cannot explain that defy the known laws of the universe. What is going on? Who's behind it? And how should we, as Christians, think about this issue? My guest in studio is Gary Bates. His book, Alien Intrusion, was in the top 50 of bestsellers on Amazon. His movie, Alien Intrusion, was seen in 1,000 theaters around the world. The Worldview Weekend Hour begins right now.
WVW-TV presents the Worldview Weekend Hour with Brandon House. Whether the topic is law, science, government, economics, history, family, social issues, education, or theology, Brennan brings the issues of today into clear focus through the lens of a biblical worldview. And now, here is your host, Brennan House.
Welcome to the Worldview Weekend Hour. I'm Brandon House. My guest tonight in studio is Gary Bates. Gary's been a friend of ours for several years, traveled on tour with several of our speakers. We went through South Dakota, Kansas, several other places, Nebraska. But we're back in studio together for the first time in a few years. Gary, welcome back.
Thanks, Brandon. Good to be here.
Great to have you here. Now, you have a beautiful accent. Tell our friends where you're from.
Originally from the land down under. I live in Atlanta now, so I usually tell people that's where I got my southern accent from. But our head office, I'm the CEO of Creation Ministries International US.
And what would be the website?
Creation.com. Pretty hard, isn't it?
Yeah, Creation.
.com.
That's easy. And that's going to be under his name throughout the whole broadcast.
Thank you.
So you'll be there getting lots of traffic, we hope, at creation.com. All right. Well, we've got a lot we're going to talk about. We're going to try to film at least 4 1-hour TV shows with you. We have a lot of material to cover, a lot of video clips, a lot of PowerPoint to show. Again, he is the author of this bestseller, Alien Intrusion, top 50 on Amazon. Yeah. When did you write this book and what led you to write this book?
Well, it's quite a few years ago now. So 2005, the first edition came out. We're now in its ninth edition.
And ninth edition?
Because we've got to keep modifying it.
And you've added a chapter. The version I have is the old version.
That's right, yes. Yeah.
And it's all marked up, as you can see, but you gave me the new version with a whole new chapter.
That's right. So what happened, two things. When I first got involved, you know, I haven't been a Christian my whole life. I only got saved in my adult years. So when I did get saved and I started working for Creation Ministries, we deal with the creation evolution issue. We employ lots and lots of scientists in our office around the world. And it dawned on me that in my unregenerated years, that science fiction had a big impact on me. And science fiction, this is the idea which predominates most of it today, is that aliens are flying here and they're faster than light spaceships. seeding life on Earth. Polls claim millions of people see these things. And there's an evolutionary connection to it. So that is, you know, if they're flying here in their hyperdrive spaceships, it's because, you know, they might be a billion or million years older on the evolutionary scale, and therefore they're advanced in their technology, right? They're millions of years advanced. But then when I started to research it, I actually got a little bit more than I bargained for. You know, I was going to UFO conferences, and there were people down the front who claimed they were channeling alien beings. They were in some trance-like state. So that kind of led me to research it more and more. And then I realized there was a much more sinister side to it. People are really seeing things. They are having real experiences. And, you know, most of us tend to think, well, it's all demonic, it's all spiritual. And, of course, that would form part of it. But the reality is that you can't deny their experiences. You can't write them off as crackpots.
And some of them you can.
Some of them, but, you know, we use a set of markers in the UFO movement. It's a secular grouping, but it's called the Classic Abduction Syndrome. And there are eight markers. Now, not everybody has all eight. They might have three or four, but you can use it as a bracketing, if you like, of trying to define whether the experience is genuine. And if they usually kind of fall within that grouping, you can usually determine the nature of the experience. So the first thing we should point out is, you know, 80, 90% of UFO sightings can be explained as either natural or man-made phenomena. Our tendency, even as Christians, is to say, oh, it must be demonic. But the skeptic does the same thing. He really believes in an older, billions of years old universe, and that aliens maybe are visiting us in their hyperdrive spaceship. So he might say, oh, it's a UFO. The fact is, we can explain about 80 or 90%, but there's always a lingering percentage, Brandon, that we can't explain. And as you said, they defy the laws of physics. How do they do U-turns when flying at 7,000 miles an hour? We don't have craft that can do that. And these things have been tracked on radar.
They've
been seen by military pilots, etc.
In fact, let's go right to the video footage, because this is a topic I avoided for years and years and years, because you don't want to get the, you know, we already get the tinfoil hat conspiracy theory thing because we talk about Islam and Marxism and the communists within our government. And so, and then you add UFOs on it, you're just walking right into the trap, right? But reality is, what has led me to do this is the fact that you have guys like Tucker Carlson on Fox News. He is talking about this nonstop. Yeah. He's on the Fox News talking about this all the time. We're going to play some video clips. He's interviewing former Secret Service agent Dan Bongino. He's talking to President Donald Trump. We have President Jimmy Carter. We have President Clinton. This has become very mainstream. And now we have, as of 2000, I think it was four USS Nimitz. Mm-hmm. And then 2015, more Navy pilots. So now our own government is admitting this, to the point now our government's saying, stop calling them UFOs. They're now unidentified aerial phenomenon, right?
Yeah. Well, the word UFO has a modern meaning. If you said the word UFO to somebody, they mean it's a flying saucer piloted by aliens from another planet. So that's what it's, you know, kind of meant in the common vernacular. So they're trying to be more specific. And I think what's interesting in the 20 years that I've been doing this, Brandon, is that there's been a change. Some governments in the world have been very, very candid about what they've seen. The Mexican government have always released their footage, and they've said, we don't know what it is. But right back, even in the 50s, in fact, just on the History Channel recently, a series finished called Blue Book, based on Dr. J. Allen Hynek. One of the fathers of the modern UFO movement. He was engaged by the government to investigate UFOs. And he, like I said before, found there was a small percentage that defied naturalistic interpretation. So he left to start his own UFO organization. And he used words to describe some of them as if they were paranormal, paraphysical. He said, you know, if we're going to go into the occult to explain them, we will. And he copped a lot of flack from his contemporaries because they want to explain everything
naturalistically. Yeah.
And he teamed up with another man called Dr. J. Allen Hynek. We featured both of these guys in our documentary.
Alien Intrusion.
And they came up with something called the interdimensional hypothesis. So this is opposed to the extraterrestrial hypothesis, which is what you see in science fiction, people flying around in real physical spaceships.
Steven Spielberg's, what was it, fourth encounter, a third encounter, what was it
called? Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Yeah.
And Heineken, that was based upon Heineken Valet's research.
They were consultants on that.
That's right.
All right.
So they came up with the interdimensional hypothesis, which was to suggest that these beings and craft were visiting us from another realm or dimension.
So it's not just that they're from out there, it's that the dimension is all around us and they're with us all the time and they're just penetrating our realm.
We've never seen them enter our atmosphere from outside. Hmm. We've tracked them on radar. When they appear, and then they disappear. And so people might say, well, you know, Gary, you can't say that in the future, you know, we don't know what technologies we might develop. Well, that's true. But the fact is, Brannon, you can't defy the laws of physics that govern our universe. We're sitting here with gravity.
Right.
Can you build anti-gravity craft? No, you could build a propulsion system or create some fields to repel gravity, but you can't switch off the Earth's gravity. So when we see these things, as I said, do incredible turns, you know, science fiction is great, but it doesn't present the reality of the physical problems. These things defy the laws of physics.
And what you're saying is that these experts who are not Christians are now saying, and have been saying for a while, some of them, as we'll see in this series we're doing with you, that this is not extraterrestrial. These are these are entities coming from another dimension. And so they're now saying there are occult aspects of this. They're openly admitting this is demonology.
Yeah. So when we talk about the U.S. government, they've known about this for years. And I think, we've got to be a little cautious in saying that, you know, there's some conspiracy behind it. I think ultimately we realize for many years that the government did not recognize spiritual things.
Right.
So how would they explain them? Well, if they can't explain them, better just to shut up about them
exactly.
And deny them. So they don't know what they're dealing with. I think we're past that now. And in fact, just before we were about to release the movie in 2018, Senator Harry Reid admitted that the U.S. government under the Obama administration was still spending $22 million a year investigating UFOs. And a guy called Luis Elizondo, who was one of the leaders in the research program, has left. And similarly, he became a little bit frustrated with what he felt were cover-ups. He feels like we should be transparent with the information.
Well, now they are. In fact, let's go to a clip. Here's Tucker Carlson. Again, some of the highly advanced aircraft we have. We're talking multi-million-dollar aircraft with radars and cameras and sensors. They're picking this stuff up, and so it's kind of, again, become mainstream and acceptable to talk about, but we want to bring a biblical worldview perspective to it with Gary Bates. Watch this clip from Tucker Carlson.
UFOs have captivated the public interest for decades, but they've always been dismissed, including by me, as the province of wackos. But that is changing thanks to some remarkable videotape and firsthand accounts from very sober people who are trained to identify aircraft. And that would include this video. It shows two Navy pilots encountering something bizarre off the east coast of the United States. Watch this.
Are you Fox moving car here?
No, I took an auto charge.
Oh, okay.
Oh my gosh, dude.
Wow. Okay, these are guys who fly for a living, who know what other airplanes look like, including those maintained by foreign governments, and they're totally shocked by this. This is one among many incidents like it, including many that have happened in the middle of the day to sober people, lots of independent witnesses at the same event, commercial pilots, military pilots, O'Hare Airport in the afternoon. None of them have obvious explanations. These are aircraft, apparently, that are moving in ways that appear to violate physics, that are flying very differently from any aircraft ever observed, and way faster than any plane that we know any foreign country has. What is this? Well, we don't know, because for some reason the Defense Department is not interested in finding out. Lou Elizondo is a former Pentagon official. He helped research UFOs. He said the DOD is not taking any of this seriously for some reason. Mr. Elizondo joins us tonight. Luke, good to see you.
Thank you for having me.
So did I overstate that? Is there a growing corpus of evidence, not drunk people on a lonely rural road at 3 a.m, but sober military pilots saying something that we can't explain is happening?
That is correct. You're talking about individuals who have very high security clearances. They are trained observers. We've actually paid them and put them through schools to be trained and very keen observers to scrutinize what they're seeing. These are individuals who we trust to fly weapons platforms, sometimes with live munitions, over U.S. cities and to fight and win wars on our behalf. And they're reporting to us that they're seeing something that they can't explain. And it's also being backed up by the video evidence and the radar data and other witnesses.
But these must just be weather balloons, right?
Well, the weather balloons that are expressing technologies that are far beyond our current understanding of aerodynamics, things that are maneuvering in ways that no aircraft that we are currently aware of has that capability to, flight performance characteristics that are well beyond the threshold of what we would consider, I think, normal or routine for aircraft.
So they have no flight surfaces, no wings or anything approaching a wing, and there's also no obvious propulsion. So infrared doesn't pick up any jet trail or rocket exhaust coming out of these things.
Right, or a plume. You know, there's many ways to have propulsion. You can do it with a jet engine, for example,
right,
a propeller, or a rocket engine. In this particular case, you have objects that are doing things, maneuvering in ways without any obvious sign of propulsion, and defying the natural effects of Earth's gravitational
pull. At what speeds?
Some are very, very, very fast.
Faster than our aircraft or known
absolutely
aircraft?
Hypersonic speeds. And by the way, without any obvious signs or signatures involved. So when an object's moving through the atmosphere, you would expect it to have certain signatures associated with that particular aircraft, whether it's a missile, drone, rocket. So, for example, you might see a heat signature coming from it. You might see ionization of the atmosphere.
Right.
You might hear a sonic boom, which you normally would. It's an acoustic signature. In this particular case, these objects don't have any of those.
All right, Gary, that's pretty amazing. Fox News covering it. There's the video footage. We got more we're going to show of some of our pilots, I think from 2004, off the USS Nimitz, encountering the same thing. This is becoming very, very common. And again, these are reports by people that are highly trained, highly skilled. They have, nuclear weapons on board. They have other bombs on board. We trust them to fly around, sometimes over our own cities. So they must be very sane, sober-minded people to have that kind of responsibility. Some of them are commercial air pilots,
yep,
who, again, are responsible for the lives of a couple hundred people or more, depending on the size of the plane. So, again, these are not crackpots.
No. And, you know, I've been researching this for 20 years, and I see some of the secular guys like Luis Elizondo. They become frustrated because they feel like it's not being taken seriously. I think the government does take it seriously. As I said, they don't know what they're dealing with. In the documentary we made, we featured in a press conference in 2010 held at the Washington Press Club, where Brandon, 80 Air Force officers, not just enlisted men, 80 Air Force officers got forward and gave their testimonies about observing these things, tracking them on radar. And listen to this. And they gave their testimonies. These are guys that have a lot more to lose than to gain,
yes,
from telling these stories.
Damaged their career.
And they said some of them entered our nuclear missile silos and affected the operational readiness of our nuclear weapons. So when Luis says, well, the government's not interested, well, when something does that to one of your nuclear weapons, I can tell you, you will sit up and take notice. But again, think about the government's viewpoint here. They want to appear in control. They can't say, well, yes, we saw it. It's affected our nuclear weapons, but we don't know what it is. I mean, they would appear like they're not in control. And in the 20 years I've been doing this, right now, this subject, we're undergoing a bit of a quantum shift, particularly here in the US. As I said, other governments have been more candid. That's the first time they've ever released footage acknowledging that there are UFOs. That's the first time they've ever publicly released it, what Elizondo had there. And again, it was at the end of the, during the Trump election. No, it was just prior to the Trump election. So for me, I was quite shocked because I said, well, hang on, they've always kept this kind of stuff quiet. And so you've got to think, why? Why is it now they are releasing information? And I almost think that we're being prepared for something. I wonder whether we're being prepared for a statement, because if the government doesn't recognize what it is, but they acknowledge its presence, what else can they say except, well, it must be some advanced technology we don't understand? That press conference in Washington 2010, that was ultimately the conclusion they came to. They said, well, what else can it be? It's a technology we don't understand. It must be, therefore, advanced aliens from a distant galaxy. But there is another explanation, because when we talk about the interdimensional hypothesis and we say these things appear disappear, like Valet and Hynek. They said, it, if you like, paraphrasing, it has some spiritual characteristics. Now, that's not a problem for you and me. Shouldn't be a problem for Christian believers, because the Bible's always talked about a spiritual realm where entities can come and go, and they've appeared in different forms and whatever. Now, we showed in our documentary, for example, Alexander the Great has a record of these flying objects that attacked his army. They've been seen throughout history, but they've appeared as different things in history, that, and they morph themselves, you know, according to what the culture will understand of the day. Well, here we are, we're in the rocket age, so is it any surprise they appear as glorious spacemen? We believe in evolution of other planets, and coupled with science fiction, the notion that people can drive around in the hyperdrive spaceships, that's what people accept.
So are you saying that perhaps maybe back times past, where we see hieroglyphics stamped on cave walls and things, and you see these creatures that are a mixture of humans and animals and different things, as well as some things that have a demonic nature to them, the tongue hanging out over the chin or the jaw or whatever. Are you saying that some of these sketchings from, you know, way back may have been entities that were appearing to them that would appear to them in something that would have been sufficient to their culture?
Yeah, I think it's not so much the drawings that we see, but there are stories. Every mm-hmm. culture has stories. They all have, you know, I've done missions work in third world countries. They all have stories of spirit beings coming and visiting them. They would put out food. They may, you know, past cultures have done sacrifices. In the Bible, we have false prophets. Mm-hmm. The Bible tells us that they were given names, right? Prophets of Baal. These things had real power. And interesting, you mentioned Egypt. I've become a bit of a student of ancient Egypt. When they recorded hieroglyphics, they recorded spells and chants. And, you know, it seems that there was some power to these types of things. So, again, we know that there's always been a spiritual realm, fallen angels, etc. And angels are very powerful beings. God's destroying angel kills people. Wiped out 170,000 soldiers in one night. So,
and when you say angels, we're talking angels as well as what would be called angels, but we would understand this fallen angels or demons.
Yeah, I actually have a different view. I believe, and that's another subject, I think fallen angels are different from demons. They're both spirit beings, but I think the Bible gives us an indication of some separate classifications. What we do understand from Scripture is one third of the angels fell, and right back from the Garden of Eden, there's been this great cosmic war going on. And what's the point? Well, you know, I think we tend to overcomplicate.
Oh, really?
Because it's very simple. Whether it's anything to do with the occult, whether it's UFOs or spiritism or false religions, there's one aim. Satan's aim is to deceive human beings.
Yes.
It's to get you to distrust the Bible. And that's the only mechanism he has, because he can read the end of the book like you and I can.
Right.
He knows what his fate is. He knows God is creator. So I kind of liken it to a crash and burn type policy. The object, the apple of God's eye, is human beings. So much so that he sent his one and only son to die for us so we could be redeemed back to our creator. But you know what? If we can get people to doubt that very simple premise of what God has done for us, then he can take down as many with him as he wants. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, I think that's what all of this is about. You know,
how about this? Is any of this also maybe setting up for, and we'll get into this more and more in the programs we're going to do, but setting up the coming of a one world leader who will do counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders, setting up an excuse for why all of these divisive, judgmental, hateful deplorables have vanished? You know, there's a lot being set up. Satan knows the Bible, does he not?
Yes, absolutely.
He knows Bible prophecy,
does he not?
He tried
to test Jesus with his own word. Yeah.
So is not a propaganda information operation narrative already being set up for things that are yet to come?
Yeah. The UFO phenomenon is very, very much tied in with eschatology.
Yes.
And regardless of which type of view you have. But I do have to say that I don't think there's been at any time in history where we could come up with a more plausible explanation that fits this kind of scenario.
Yes, and it's increasing.
And what's very interesting, if you want to read my book, you will see from the own UFO writers themselves, where they claim to be channeling messages from alien beings, that they have a counterfeit eschatology of their own. In fact, their own writings say that in the end, people are going to be whisked off the earth, taken into beam ships, we're all going to be taken to some utopian planet and looked after, while Mother Earth is allowed to evolve into her next ascendant stage and this type of stuff. The UFO writings are actually replete with that.
Okay,
and
so,
it kind of mirrors the Bible's eschatology.
Okay, so this is what I was saying to my family last night. If the removal of Christians from the earth, or whether you're pre-trib, mid-trib, pre-wrath, the removal of Christians from the earth at some point, if that is not true or accurate or biblical, why would Satan go to the trouble to have his ministers, if you will, his followers, channeling and writing books that set up the scenario to explain it once it's occurred? Yeah. Why would he waste his time creating the false narrative to explain it if it wasn't something he knows himself? Whether you're pre-trib, mid-trib, or pre-wrath, if there's ever a time when Christians are going to be removed, well, then Satan must know that, and it must be true. Otherwise, why would he waste his time with this false narrative he set up?
Sure. Well, I think if we are disposed to that type of eschatology, we will see that. But I have to say, regardless of what your eschatological view is, they've got something for everybody.
Yeah.
And I think that's the nature of the demonic spiritual realm, is it'll fit many, many views.
Yes.
You know, if you're this view, I've got something for you. If you're this view, I've got something for you.
And this fits right in with the New Age movement, as we'll talk about Alice Bailey a little bit, Helen Schuckman. We were talking about that before the broadcast. And this fits right in with the acceptance of what Oprah Winfrey, Alice Bailey, Helen Schuckman have been teaching, master guides, spirit guides. Master guides and spirit guides and aliens or creatures coming and coming from not extraterrestrial but from interdimensional, that all fits right in with everyone being encouraged to have their own spirit or master guide, the increase of yoga, making the natural world dissolve, entering the spiritual realm. All of it is connecting. And what's very interesting to me, Gary, is that it seems to all be converging. All of these world events seem to be converging, and the common theme behind so much of it is their hatred of Christians and their hatred of Jews and their hatred of the Bible and occultism that is behind so many of these movements. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, one of the most famous abductees of all time was a gentleman by the name of Whitley Strieber, and there was a movie made with Christopher Walken called Communion, very terrifying movie. And he was abducted. I mean, we can talk about this later. There are horrible things done to these people who believe they've been abducted on a spaceship. But regardless of that, they're convinced that somehow it's for their own good. We're talking about rape-like stories, mm-hmm. men and women. Well, again, we go back in the past. That's happened in history, right? The incubus and the succubus, demons that came and raped men and women. So we're not dealing with anything
new.
Are
we talking about now Genesis 6?
No. Well, we are talking about Genesis 6, but the incubus and the succubus are stories that the church, even the church fathers wrote about, we've had in church history. So these are common practices, but it's taking on a new guise.
Where you have demons or entities involved in sexual molestation of people.
Absolutely. And I actually have a whole section in the book on that, because you've got to kind of figure out why. But the sexual component is a very, very powerful one, and it's a way of, if you like, ensnaring. If you think you've had a sexual encounter with someone, it's a way of bonding you to that experience and the person who's done it. Even when it's vile.
It's at a sexual level that is spiritual.
Yes.
It's a spiritual experience.
Yes. So when I mentioned Whitley Strieber, he claimed he was sodomized by these extraterrestrials that started to visit him in his room. But after a while, he started to speak about them in loving terms. He almost welcomed them, because what happens is, and we've got to be careful, you can't deny someone's experience, right? I mean, if you know someone has an experience, it's not something you can go to the office tomorrow and talk around the water cooler about. So it becomes very isolating. And the isolation drives them in deeper. And in, like all forms of abuse, the very ones that they call out to for empathy are the ones that are doing the abusing. It's quite perverse. So that's what drives them in deeper. And you mentioned how it's all converging. Yes, these abusers end up becoming, if you like, their guides. Dr. John Mack, former professor of Harvard Medical School, we've got a clip with him later, He wrote a book on this called Abductions. He's one of the world's leading abduction researchers. And he said that these people, now this is a non-Christian saying this, he said that they end up becoming, I'm paraphrasing here, I can't remember the exact words, but he said they basically become evangelists for the New Age cause after their experience.
So this is like a Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah, in a sense it is, yes. Yeah, very, very much.
Look at this slide here. This is the Washington Post, dated May 28th, 2019. UFOs exist and everyone needs to adjust to that fact. Subtitle, UFOs are not the same thing as extraterrestrial life, but we should start thinking about that possibility. And there's the author, Washington Post, folks. Here is another one, September 18th, 2019. The UFO videos are real, the Navy says, but please stop saying UFO. Last week, a Navy official publicly called these mysterious objects unidentified aerial phenomena, giving name to the inscrutable little dots and reigniting scrutiny around the unidentified flying objects, a term Navy does not want to use, even though the objects that are flying cannot be identified. Well, here's an article by John Ankerberg, published back in on his website. Jim Vickler wrote it, but it's on our friend John Ankerberg's website, published 12/5/2019. Beginning 2017, government agencies finally acknowledged UAPs are real, which is, again, unidentified aerial phenomena. Yeah. Their explanation, not to mention their existence and wide differences on how to describe them, has been a hot-button topic of conversation for over 70 years. There were multiple government probes from 1947 to 1990, many involving the CIA. National Reconnaissance Office historian Gerald K. Haynes wrote at length about government responses to the UFO phenomenon in, quote, CIA's role in the study of UFOs 1947 to 1990, end quote. This was a heavy period of unidentified aerial phenomenon activity. And now we have this article right here, dated February 8th, 2020. First contact, something in space is sending Earth signals like clockwork. Scientists don't know why. And if you go to this website from Cornell University, they talk about how this is occurring, about every 16 to 18 day period, we have these bursts that are coming and they don't really know why. But of course, again, what people are doing is trying to look for some explanation and say that there is life out there. Why are they so intent on finding life out there, Gary?
It gets back to the question of our origins. Mm. You know, there are only two games in town. Either we were created or we're evolved. And as I said before, in a Big Bang 14 billion year old scenario, they believe that, you know, alien life could have existed billions of years before human beings. They're billions of years advanced in their technology, and that's how come they can visit the Earth in their faster-than-light spaceships. But you mentioned there some of the signals. Mm-hmm. SETI, the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence, has been scanning the heavens for over 70 years.
There was a movie with Jodie Foster about that years ago.
It was called Contact. Yeah,
that's right.
And, they scan, I think, about 20 million radio frequencies every second. It gets a little bit funny. They got very excited some years ago when they thought they'd received a signal and found out it was some guy using a microwave in the kitchen. Mm. You mentioned some of those signals there were being bombarded. You know, they've not been able to decode them or decipher them. They're anomalies. They don't know what they are. And because they don't know what they are, then they say, oh, it must be some form of advanced intelligence communicating with us. And I suppose the example would be, you know, it's a bit like somebody on a smartphone, right, trying to communicate with somebody in the jungle who uses drums to communicate. Mm-hmm. You know, they're so advanced, we can't pick it up. So we've got to be a little careful, folks, when you hear headlines like that. I've learnt in the UFO movement that truth is often a casualty. People want us to believe what they believe, and so they're not always honest with the way that the information is portrayed.
And so what could some of these signals be that are coming in like that? What could they be?
Well, the space is a really weird place. Mm-hmm. Even as scientists and even as creation scientists, we're still trying to figure out. We see objects at a distance. We have light. But, you know, this could be very complex, but we're getting to the stage we don't even know what we're looking at. So we interpret things called redshifts, the wavelengths of light stretched to red in the spectrum, as being equivalent of distance. We use something called Doppler to measure that. But there have been so many anomalies in recent years where we have a galaxy, you know, and we might have a redshift of 5 million light years. That's apparently how far it is away. and we see something in front of it, you know, like a quasar, a quasi-stellar object, but this gives us a redshift of 200 million light years. How could something which is demonstrably in front of something behind it because it's blocking the light give us a redshift of being further away? So many years ago, they got very excited from a signal in space. Jocelyn Bell Burnell, I think her name was, received this repeated blip. And they got very excited that it might be a message from a distant ET. And what they realized, it was a pulsar. And a pulsar is a rapidly rotating star, probably a star that's undergone gravitational collapse, and it rotates. But as it rotates, it just gives off a radio signal. But again, our lack of understanding of the heavens at that stage, they got very excited by thinking it was a radio signal
so
from an extraterrestrial.
So reality is, just because there's a signal coming, there may be a very solid, scientific, natural reason for it.
I think if the ETs are that advanced, they're not just going to send us signals we can't understand.
Sure.
Surely they're going to try, if they want to communicate. And here's the thing. You know, we've got over 70 years of research on UFOs, abduction stories, etc. If they really want us to know who they are, why do they play cat and mouse with us? Why do they reveal their true identity? And this is not little Joe Christian saying this. You can look at the research. We've got Nick Redfern in the movie. He's written over 40 books. And he turns around and he says, they're deceptive. He says, you know, how is it if they're coming from all these distant galaxies, they're perfectly attuned to our environment? How come they can breathe our oxygen and they're okay with our gravity and so on and so forth?
I like what John Weldon said, and I'll give the quote later in one of the programs. Why are they also, a common theme when they communicate with people reportedly, is denying Christ, denying the Bible, denying the salvation through Christ
teaching
alone.
Teaching the occult.
Teaching the occult, claiming to be a Christ, which isn't that interesting, because the Bible says many will come in my name claiming I am the Christ.
Listen to this one. The very first UFO conference I went to, there was a group there called the Raelians. You may have heard of them. This is a former French motorsport journalist. He's taken the name by rail. His goal is to build an embassy in Jerusalem to welcome back the ETs when they come. He thinks the Elohim in the Bible are actually extraterrestrials. Some years ago, they made the news. Their lead scientist, Bridget Baselia, had claimed they'd cloned a child in Canada. She was called before the courts saying, well, if you've cloned a child, produce it. And then they said, oh, no, we've taken her overseas. You know, it was all bunk. But I met these Raelians at a UFO conference. And I said to them that Rael had commented that he'd gained over $500 million worth of free advertising as a result of this court case. And he corrected me. He said, please don't use his name. And I knew what they meant, and I kind of pushed his buttons a bit. And I said, oh, you mean Rael? And he says, yes, please do not call him that because he is the Messiah. Mm. And I was corrected.
Wow. Mm. Yeah, and if the Bible says, there'll be many who come in my name claiming I am the Christ, right?
False Christs, false signs, and wonders. Mm-hmm. And this is where we've got to be careful, because even Christians can buy into the fact, well, you know, we're seeing these things. I've had Christians come up to me and they say, well, it must be an extraterrestrial. What else could it be? Because we don't use the Bible as a lens to try to explain, you know, what's going on. And here's the really exciting thing, Brandon. I want to say, again, you know, in all the years that I've been doing this, I would say that when I started out, my spiritual view was at odds with the mainstream view. The world's largest group for investigating UFOs is MUFON here in the United States. They've got field operatives in, you know, counties all over America and even around the world. They used to believe in the extraterrestrial hypothesis, you know, aliens in real physical spacecraft coming from a distant galaxy. We know that can't happen. You can't travel faster than the speed of light. As I said, you've got to defy the laws of physics. Now, guess what? They've moved to the interdimensional hypothesis. It's pretty much the number one view, the view that I always held. Okay, that's the mainstream view.
Which is setting up for the following and promotion of the occult world.
Yeah, so what is exciting, what I was going to say is, you know, if people are looking at us and saying we're trying to shoehorn it into our Christian worldview, no.
They're doing it.
Exactly. The secular and, if you like, the Christian researcher like me, we all generally agree about the nature of the phenomenon. And spiritual, interdimensional, whatever you want to call it. Now, we might disagree about its origins, where it's coming from, But I don't think there's any really much disagreement about the nature of it. And the layperson at home, the UFO fan, he's saying, well, no, I think it's really, you know, like I see on Star Wars or something like that. Well, respectfully, they need to do a bit more research.
Absolutely. And it all is, again, fitting with the fact that we are not becoming a secular nation or secular world. We're becoming increasingly a spiritual nation, a spiritual world. You know the old saying I've been telling you about for years, the young people today will say, well, I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual. I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual. You know, I hear a lot of the pro-family guys running around talking about the secularization of America. Well, I'm sorry, they're trapped back in the 1970s where they think secular humanism is dominating and they're clueless, which is why most of the pro-family groups, with all due respect, have virtually zero influence on the culture or the world or making any headway other than just being professional fundraising organizations, in my opinion, because they don't even understand what the dominant worldviews of the day are. They still think the greatest threat is secular humanism when the dominant worldview today, postmodernism and cosmic humanism are new age. We are going from secular humanism back to the 60s and 70s to the dominant worldview today of cosmic humanism or new age. Yeah. So most of them don't even understand the dominant worldview, which again is, I'm not religious, but I am spiritual. Well, as you have more and more non-Christians saying, hey, there's a spiritual realm, these entities are coming from it, and people trying to tap into it, and things in our culture like yoga, which help you tap into the spiritual realm, dissolve the natural realm, and now you have the churches involved in Christian yoga. I mean, all of it is a perfect storm of convergence at the spiritual level of the occult.
Yeah, there's an old saying wrongly attributed to a famous author, but he says, when people stop believing in Christianity, they don't stop believing in anything, they start believing in everything.
Yeah.
And I think that's really what we're seeing. This subject we're talking about, though, has, I think, a very unique appeal. We're not just talking about, well, there might be another realm or dimension. What they're saying is that in this realm or dimension, we're dealing with advanced beings. See, they can solve all the big questions for us. It's a worldview issue. You know, I kind of often say when I speak in churches, our worldview can be summed up by those three big questions, you know? Where do we come from? Mm-hmm. Why are we here? Where are we going? Mm-hmm. And the question, answers to questions two and three will always be determined by what you think about question one. Are we created or evolved, time and chance? Well, if we're created, we know our meaning and purpose to life. We know what happens to us when we die. But if evolution's true, well, we don't ultimately have any meaning or purpose. And what happens to us when we die? Well, there might be a third scenario. If aliens are our creators, that's still got evolution as its base, and they're advanced, well, they can tell us what happens to us. Maybe they can tell us what happens to us when we die. Is there another realm or a dimension? Or maybe they're overseeing our evolution, which is what a lot of people think. Answer to number three, is there going to be a new age? You know, as I said, the UFO writings are replete with this idea that the Earth is going to evolve into some, you know, spiritual or transcendent utopian state.
A spiritual evolution.
And it's the Christians, interestingly, we're the fuddy-duddies that are holding it back. Twisted scripture is a big one because I think one of the traps in this particular subject, and this is probably the number one objection I get from Christians. When I say Christians, I'm talking about, I believe, sincere evangelicals. They would say, well, Gary, you know, the universe is such a big place, you can't be dogmatic and say that God didn't create life out there. Well, I have a very simplistic view of scripture. And when I read the big purposes of the gospel, you know, God is the creator, Genesis 1:1, he created the heavens and the earth. Those same heavens and earth are corrupted. It says they're going to be dissolved in a fervent heat. So if God had created intelligent alien life on there, here's the question, can it be saved? No. Jesus Christ, the last Adam, he became human to redeem humans, right? So there are no unfallen parts of the universe, as you know, Ellen White actually believed some years ago.
And she was the founder of
Seventh-day Adventist.
Right.
So when we look at the big purpose of the scripture, the whole creation has fallen. Otherwise, why does God have to destroy the whole heavens and earth to create a new heavens and earth? Now, you might think that's drastic, but if he's the creator described in Genesis 1:1, respectfully, it's not that hard for him. This universe is tainted by sin as a result of what human beings did on earth. So for God to create intelligent, sentient life, and I'm talking about the type of life that is capable of making moral decisions. You know, where do we come from? Those three big questions, with no hope of salvation, and they get rubbed out at the end of time. See, that would make God unjust. And that's something he's not. And people really, really struggle with this concept. And I think the reason they struggle with the concept, even though they don't know it, it's the size of the universe. Why would God have made it so big just for us here on earth? But here's the key. Who's it big to? Right? It's big to us. God does not exist in time. And we want to think about how big something is. You know, if we said, well, let's travel to the edge of our Milky Way. We estimate it's 100,000 light years across. So if we could travel at the speed of light, it would take 100,000 years. But if we believe in the omnipotent, omniscient creator of the Bible, guess what? He's already there. Mm-hmm. It didn't take him any time to get there. So size and time are relative to us in a physical universe. God is beyond that. If he made this universe that is so massively big, he's already at the edge of the universe. He knows what's happening there. So it's not hard for him. So don't get wrapped up in the size issue in trying to say, well, I think that's why God may have created elsewhere. The Bible tells us about 13 times, Brannon, why the universe is the way it is. The heavens declare his glory. And here's the key. What happens, what even Christians do, is we look up and we go, wow, I wonder what else is out there. The psalmist says you should look up and say, oh my God, that's the creator. That's the one who actually came here and died for us. We should be in awe of the universe. I mean, just imagine if he'd made some small pokey little universe, we'd be saying, well, he's not that great, is he? You know?
Right.
So he's unfathomable in his glory and his power. And this, you know, I've got a whole section in this book, and people can go to creation.com, and if they type in the search engine, did God create life on other planets? A peer-reviewed article. It sets out all the theological reasons why the only, and I'm not talking about angels, spiritual mm-hmm. life, why the only sentient, intelligent life in the universe, biblically speaking, is us. Mm. The whole purpose of creation was to bring forward a bride for Christ. That was it. Now, I'm not talking about microbes on Mars mm-hmm. or bacteria. I'm talking about life, you know, as we understand it, like human beings, capable of making those big decisions.
Wow. My guest is Gary Bates. He's with creation.com, as you see on the screen. And did you ever know my friend Ron Carlson?
No.
He wrote the book Fast Facts on False Teaching. He wrote this one with Ed Decker, Fast Facts on False Teaching. He was a regular speaker of ours. Sadly, he passed away in his sleep or while he was watching television one afternoon in June of 2011. He was a regular speaker of ours, and he wrote this book. Now, any of you that remember Dr. Ron Carlson, he was a very cautious man. He was not prone to conspiracy theories or anything like that. He was very old school, biblical creation teacher, taught on the occult, New Age. He had majored in Eastern mysticism concepts and ideas. He got his degree in studying those world religions. And studied with some of the leading yogis of the world. Why did he do this back, I think, in the 70s? Because he realized this was the worldview that was coming to America, and he wanted to be ready to address it and understand it and then bring a biblical worldview to it. And he wrote about these things in this book. Well, I want to read to you what he wrote in this book and have Gary respond. And we're going to be doing several shows with Gary, but look at what Dr. Ron Carlson wrote with Ed Decker in his book, Fast Facts on False Teaching. This is how he concluded the book. Again, this helps us understand maybe partly what's going on with this drastic increase of belief in UFOs or unidentified aerial phenomenon or aliens, or now not extraterrestrial, but something that's interdimensional that's right. Just kind of right there out. You can reach it. You can touch it. You can get involved with it. Is it setting the stage for something? Look at this coming from Dr. Ron Carlson's book. Surveys show that about 55% of Americans believe in the reality of UFOs. The U.S. Air Force has studied UFOs for many years, including the Blue Book study of the 50s and 60s. Much of this information is still classified. What about UFOs? We don't believe their existence should be denied. There's simply too much evidence today that suggests that something is there. It's no longer whether they exist, but what they are. People give a variety of answers to this question. If you read the books written over the last 10 to 20 years, some people speculate that UFOs are simply a hoax. The problem with this view is that there are too many reliable eyewitness accounts of UFO sightings by people trained to know what is in the sky, including Air Force pilots and astronauts. Some writers speculate that UFOs are simply natural phenomenon. Perhaps people have seen a satellite go over, or a weather balloon, or marsh gas, or a flock of birds, or reflected light from some other object. It's true that many UFO sightings can be explained by natural phenomenon, but many others cannot. Some writers speculate the UFOs are part of some interplanetary civilization. They used to think it was Venus, Mars, or Jupiter, but we have now sent space probes to these planets, but have found no life of any kind. Some writers have speculated that UFOs are intergalactic. Perhaps they come from some solar system within another galaxy that is now seeking to make contact with us. They believe that there are millions of galaxies that evolution must have produced somewhere else. But recent studies appear to show that we are alone in the universe. There is simply no evidence at this point of any extraterrestrial life anywhere in the universe. Some writers have speculated that UFOs come from some unknown Earth civilization. Speculations like the Hollow Earth theory come and go. Perhaps there is a civilization that has escaped the ravages of modern-day society and has developed a high technology. Perhaps it's hidden in some volcano or in the Amazon jungle. The problem with this view is that today we have several hundred satellites orbiting the Earth. We have photographic equipment on those satellites so sophisticated that from 200 miles above the Earth, it can photograph a mouse running through a cornfield. All of you have been photographed many times over without ever knowing it. Yet from all this information, we have no evidence of any undetected Earth civilization. Some writers have speculated that UFOs are some super secret weapon, but we have no technology anywhere in the world that can fly at the speeds or angles of UFOs. Many researchers who study UFOs are now saying that the only possible explanation remaining for unidentified flying objects is that they are of some ultra-dimensional nature, a spirit realm outside our three-dimensional naturalistic world. Our own speculation is based upon the study of Scripture and the study of UFOs, and we emphasize that this is only an educated opinion. What we believe is that we are seeing the world being prepared for the coming of the Antichrist on a UFO. In other words, we believe that UFOs are of a demonic realm. Why do we say this? Because our world today is not looking for a spiritual Messiah. It is looking for a technological savior. If some UFO landed on planet Earth and out walked a Christ-like benevolent creature, an ET, who claimed to be a higher intelligence, who could solve all our economic and environmental and technological problems, they would flock to him. In virtually all fourth encounters where people claim to have been taken on UFOs, they all relate the same experience. The creatures told them they could save themselves. They don't need God because they are gods themselves. They don't need Jesus as their savior because they can save themselves through cyclic rebirth. It is the same old doctrine of demons and deceitful spirits, 1 Timothy 4:1. We need not walk around with a spirit of fear, however. The Word of God tells us that as we draw near to the Lord, the devil will flee, James 4:7. It tells us that greater is he that is in us than he who is in the world, 1 John 4:4. In Ephesians 6:10 through 18, we're given the armor of God for spiritual warfare, end quote. Very interesting.
Sounds like you read my book.
And that's Dr. Ron Carlson.
Sure.
Now, and so you and Dr. Ron Carlson, the late Don Ron Carlson, are on the same page on this.
He's absolutely spot on with his assessment and the reasons for it and exactly the experiences that people have and what's actually happening to them. There's no question about it. And I did mention just before you read that the technological guise of this is what's most appealing, because if they are advanced in their technology, people are looking for a technological savior. And they can tell us, as I said, what's going to happen to us, where we're going to go. Maybe they'll save us from climate change and global warming and all those types of things too. And they've actually given those types of messages, would you believe, Brennan, too.
Isn't that fascinating?
Yeah.
So any more thoughts about what Dr. Carlson wrote?
Well, he actually said there are about 55% of Americans believe in UFOs. I actually cited in an article on creation.com people can look up called UFOs Scientific Religion. It's about 80%.
Yeah, because this was written in 94.
Right.
1994.
Yeah, about 80% of Americans now believe in UFOs. And the largest grouping of that percentage believe that UFOs have visited the Earth or are currently visiting the Earth and that the government is hiding the truth about it. 80%. You would think that would have to include a lot of Christians, Brandon, who actually believe that, if those opinion polls are correct.
When I covered this on radio a few weeks ago, and this is what led me to calling you and saying, hey, you need to come to our studio. When I covered it on radio, and I read this by Dr. Ron Carlson and played some of these clips by Tucker Carlson to show how mainstream this is becoming, my reason for doing that was simply to say, look, Dr. Carlson was warning about this in 1994 in this book. Tucker Carlson now in 2019, 2020 is just constantly talking about this as well, or others, as we'll see in other clips in future broadcasts we're going to do here. We as Christians need to have a biblical answer to this. You know, sadly, Christians are often a day late and a dollar short. And I got so many emails, people thanking me and saying, I'm so thankful you are covering this from a biblical perspective. Mm. It's way past time. Yeah. When, of course, my thought was, well, it's been done by Dr. Carlson, who's now gone off to glory, but it's also being done and has been done for a lot of years by Gary Bates. And clearly, we need to introduce you to our audience more aggressively. And so that's why I picked up the phone and called you.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. It is a struggle. You know, in the South, I find in the Bible Belt, a lot of Christians will just kind of poo-poo the idea and say, well, you know, it's not relevant and so on and so forth. But we have to be engaged with the culture, Brandon. I mean, you know, we're told to be salt and light to the world. How can we be salt and light if we don't understand what the world thinks? How can we reach them where they're at if we don't understand, you know, the premise of their own beliefs?
Absolutely.
And this is a very disturbing area. You know, we talked before about how this is throughout history, and I'd love to talk about this in the next show, and how people in the past have had the experience. There were two very famous teachers who were the founders of the largest religious cults in the world today, Joseph Smith.
Oh, yes.
And Muhammad, who had what I've coined as the visitor experience, and I'd love to share that a little bit later on.
Well, that's amazing, because I didn't know you were going to bring up Joseph Smith, but I already have PowerPoint presentations prepared because I knew Joseph Smith had claimed to have encounters with something, so I was going to bring it up figuring you knew about it. Hey, let's go to one more clip before our time is out.
Apparently, some United States senators have received an actual briefing on this UFO phenomenon. And now, like you, I always wonder why this isn't a bigger story. Listen, Tucker, we don't have to go all H.G. Wells, War of the Worlds or anything. There's no need for drama. But if you had some stuff flying over your country with a technology no one could explain, maybe it's kind of a bigger deal, right? Maybe we should be a little more concerned. I'm just throwing that out there.
Now, we got Tucker Carlson talking about it. We got a U.S. congressman talking about it. In our next show, we'll see Bill Clinton talk about it. Jimmy Carter's talked about it. And recently, Tucker Carlson asked Donald Trump about it. CNN's reporting on this. And we'll show you a clip where the USS Nimitz, they also encountered something with their pilots, and their pilots went out on TV and were being interviewed. So again, is this preparing the world for something? I believe it is. I believe Dr. Carlson's right. I believe Gary Bates is right. This is preparing the world for something. Do we as Christians have the answers? I think we do. Do we know how to talk about this? I think we should, and if we don't, that's why this program is being produced. Now, I hope you go to his website, creation.com, and order his book, Alien Intrusion, which we'll be quoting from extensively in the next coming programs, as well as, by the way, top 50 in sales on Amazon, and this was shown in 1,000 theaters around the world. It's called Alien Intrusion, Unmasking a Deception, and you can get the whole movie at creation.com. Now, if you appreciate this broadcast, remember, we are listener supported. You can support us in one of two ways. This program, by the way, after it's made available to the public, will roll into the Situation Room. We have over 1,000 TV shows like this on demand. You can watch stupid TV or you can watch smart TV. And that's what you have when you subscribe to our Situation Room. Over 1,000 TV shows like this, transcripts, ebooks, audiobooks, and more. You can subscribe at wvwtv.com/subscription, wvwtv.com/subscription. For as little as $9.99 a month, $99 a year, $149 for 2 years, or save $100, join at the 3-year rate of $199. The other way you can support us is with a tax-deductible contribution at wvwfoundation.com. It is tax-deductible. Again, if you appreciate the fact that we bring in Gary, we're interviewing him, we put him up at a hotel, and we're doing these shows and producing them and distributing them, we need your support. We spend $3,000 a month just in streaming and storage. And in January of 2020, we did 1.9 million streams on TV. Do you know what percentage of people watching are supporting us? A small percentage. So we need you folks to continue supporting what we're doing so we can continue to put these programs out there. Because again, we spend just $3,000 a month just in storage cost and streaming cost to give this broadcast away. But remember, it eventually does roll into our Situation Room. So one of two ways you can support us, WVWFoundation.com, or subscribe to our VIP club where all these shows eventually roll to at WVWTV.com/subscription. Well, we're going to be back with another program with Gary Bates, so don't miss that next broadcast and share this with your friends. Till next time, I'm Brandon House. Thanks for watching. Take care.